Well, good afternoon, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. And if you notice, we didn't have the lead-in today. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, so you're going to have an extra few minutes on air time to discuss some of the issues that we have before us on the agenda today. You know, in the midst of a time in our country when we seem to be at the most divided phase I've experienced in a very long time, it's not the worst, folks. It may be darn close, but I remember the same issues that we're dealing with today back when I was a small child in the 60s and 70s. For some reason, we don't seem to be able to overcome ourselves and learn from our past. And any culture that doesn't learn from their past history, you know, is doomed to repeat that history. And I really am fearful that we're repeating a history that we didn't have to repeat. We had an opportunity to go so far beyond where we are, but instead we took giant steps backwards, and it was almost like on purpose. At times it seemed like mean-spiritedness, the lack of civility. I've seen these type of things throughout the last 10 years, 12 years that I've been sheriff of Spokane County. I've seen the hatred. I've received phone calls from mayors around the region talking to me about, hey, the KKK was in town apparently last night and plastered all kinds of hate literature all over town. I've gotten my uniform on, drove out to Millwood, and helped the mayor clean up lawns and pick up hate flyers and assure the community that we're on top of this and we're not going to let this hate stand. I've seen that happen out in the valley. I've seen, the hate literature in the valley. And about 4 years ago, I was at a meeting, a human rights meeting, put on a college campus with no play, and no one all showed up. I mean, there were maybe five, six people there. Hmm. Most of them were electeds. And I went, okay, this is interesting because I know we have an issue because in 2011, folks, I was in a MLK march where a neo-Nazi put a bomb on the streets of Spokane. I've lived this. Had that bomb gone off, there had been possibly 500 kids and several of us that were with them killed, all because of hate. And anymore, it's radicalized. Hate is the worst breed because I'm seeing it. And it's not just on the right, folks. I'm seeing the same thing on the left, the same radicalized hate. So after that, during that meeting, I challenged Mayor Condon to let's start a regional human rights task force. There was a wonderful lady that was putting that particular meeting on, Lisa Rozier, and she took me up on that. We started working the issue. And for about 2 years, it was like herding cats, but we finally got a bunch of people together. And we were able to put this group together that became the Spokane County Human Rights Task Force. We had great leaders that joined in. One of those leaders is with me in studio today, Dean Lynch. And, Tony Stewart from the Kootenai County Human Rights Commission was one of our mentors in helping us get organized. Raymond Reyes, a very strong, intelligent individual, helped guide our path. So it's been about a little over a year since we organized, going on 2 years.
Actually, 2 years.
Yep. And Dean, where are we today? How are we doing? I know that we had a meeting last month to rework some of our guiding principles. So give us a kind of a snapshot of where we are today.
Well, thank you for including me on this discussion today. Yes, we actually had our press conference announcing the organization on March 8th, 2016. So we are just under 2 years from when we had the formal announcement. And during that time, we spent the first 6 months to a year really getting ourselves organized, identifying all the wonderful people who are going to participate in our organization and getting to know each other, because some of us had not even met before. So we needed to spend time doing that, revising the bylaws and policies and putting things like that in place. And we are an organization of all volunteers. Many of us work full-time jobs. Some of us are retired. But all of us have things that are occupying our time.
There's one part about that, Dean, that I wanted to maybe stress a little.
Okay.
Folks, we are all volunteers. You know, the city of Spokane has a human rights commission. It's part of the city government. We decided not to go that direction. We decided to become a 501c3 because we didn't want any governmental monies. We didn't want governmental interference, basically, within the project. Matter of fact, I insisted that no elected official can hold a elected board member seat, as in president, treasurer, any of that.
An officer.
Officer. Mm-hmm. Because I really didn't want to see resume builders, glom on and try to move up. And I think that's what makes us different than a lot of other entities, is that we are grassroots. We are from, we represent the people. We're not a governmental agency. We are here to help the citizens of Spokane County.
Yeah, and I would expand upon that. Our board consists of, we have 23 positions. And in those positions, there are four positions that were designed for municipalities. So one is the City of Spokane, one is the Spokane County Commissioners, one is the City of Spokane Valley, and the fourth one is represented from the outlying communities. And so it was really important that we get as broad a representation to the task force as possible. In addition to those four, the sheriff is an automatic position, and then we have representatives from the different constituencies in Spokane, whether it's the business community, the Islamic community, the Jewish community, the Native American, African American, disability, and I can go on, and I'm not going to list all of them. But so we have representatives from various ethnicities, beliefs throughout the city, throughout the county of Spokane, to help us in guiding what it is that we're going to do. And so as we've evolved our mission, we had a retreat, and we've narrowed our focus down to primarily focusing on educational needs, focusing on the needs of victims, people or organizations that have been victimized through hate crimes. We want to make sure that their voices are heard and that they're compensated if they're out of pocket or they're hurt or whatever that might be. And so that, and then the third focus has escaped me right at the moment. But those are the primary areas where we wish to focus our energies as we move forward.
Education.
Educate.
Part of what we want to do is educate people and educate them about the dangers of radicalized hate. We want to educate the youth not to repeat the mistakes that we're making and have made. We want people to be better than we are. And the reality is, folks, we're not going to agree on everything. The group that we have is roughly 23 organizations strong, and there's one of the tricks of getting everything together, I guess, was all the groups putting aside the baggage they had maybe against each other, because some groups didn't like each other. That's a first step, is willing to put the baggage aside, recognizing that I may not agree with your position, but I can work with you to improve our community. And that is probably one of the strongest aspects I think that we have as an organization. And quite frankly, folks, that used to be the strongest asset the United States of America and its people had, was the ability to say, you know, I might not be able to agree with you on all points, but I can agree with you on this point, and we can make our country better. We've lost that.
Well, one of the things that I often say is that I wanted us to get to know each other, because I believe that once we know each other, we know who we are, we know our soul, we know where we're coming from. And so there are times when I say something that doesn't come out exactly the way I want it to come out. And so I want people to understand that if I say something that doesn't sound right, ask me about what I said. Get clarification. Don't automatically assume that I believe or advocate for what I may have misstated. So as we get to know each other, we're able to work through that, those communication barriers, because our language is not perfect.
Oh, and folks, the worst way to communicate is through email.
Oh, yeah, emails and texts. Oh,
text.
And Twitters
You can't get the context. You can't get the full aspect in this full story. But that's, quite frankly, that's how some of these people out there on social media launch their attacks. And the people they launch their attacks on, they really can never respond in full, because that's just one of the poorest ways there is to address issues. We need to look at what we're doing to each other and maybe step back and go, all right, there are ways that we can make the world better. There are ways that we can make things better. But, Dean, you mentioned that there are four spots that we reserved for government. And the reason we reserved those spots for government was we thought it was important to have them at the table so we could understand what their needs are, how we may be able to help them. Again, folks, this is a 501c3. We didn't ask them for anything.
No money.
No money. We don't want anything from them, because if we take something from them, then we become beholden to government. And the last thing we want to do is, you know, just be another government agency. But we needed them at the table because they do have a voice, and they do have the ability to help bring things together, and they have the need of the community to rally around them when you have the KKK come into your neighborhood at dark in the night, plaster hate all over your city. The mayor of Millwood needed help. Well, had the task force existed at that time, we would have had at least 23 people strong show up to help them out. I was assigned a task to go around to all the cities within Spokane County and ask them to simply draft a resolution recognizing us, and that was basically it. I fought really hard to get the Valley, the city of Spokane Valley, a seat at the table. And I will tell you, that wasn't exactly easy, because there's many people that rolled their eyes at me when I mentioned the city of Spokane Valley, because they didn't believe that they would actually participate. And I had great success across the region, except for three entities. Latah didn't sign off. Liberty Lake didn't sign off, which is odd because we have one of their council members who is one of our strongest board members. Actually, I think is a representative for the smaller cities.
Yes.
And the city of Spokane Valley sent somebody. He would never agree to sign off on our founding documents. Ed Pace was that person's name. When I approached the mayor of the city of Spokane Valley, Rod Higgins, early in 2016 about this, actually it was 2015, he was, okay, sounds good, let's go. When we had our kickoff in March of 2016, he showed up, Ed Pace showed up, year before their election cycle, but okay. And fairly supportive and got camera time and mentions and all that other stuff. But suddenly, we started getting pushback from the city of Spokane Valley. And we sent all kinds of letters and we even changed our documents trying to appease the city of Spokane Valley. And we still don't have that representative. And recently, I was sent a YouTube video of the mayor of Spokane Valley talking about the task force, which just dropped my jaw. I was shocked. So, folks, in his own words, this is the mayor of Spokane Valley, Rod Higgins, and in his own words, what he had to say about the task force.
A couple of years ago, the sheriff was instrumental in putting together a human rights commission for the city. And the world has been right ever since then, except that we were asked to send a delegate to that commission, and so I thought Ed Pace would be appropriate. And if you know Ed Pace, that is, you should smile, okay? Ed immediately asked when he was, they wanted him to sign this, hey, we're on board type thing. Ed said, well, I really can't do that because I see nothing in here about protection of unborn children. And furthermore, there's no protection for anybody of the Caucasian race. Well, anyway, you get the picture. Well, they didn't want Ed back, and so we didn't have a representative until last meeting. The president of this organization came to our meeting and said, hey, now that the world has turned, we want somebody. And so Linda immediately picked it up and said, well, we've got to have somebody. So I suspect we'll be looking at that one again.
I know, and believe me, I thought about it. This is not over yet. Anyway, a couple of quick things. Our major
problems are not. I can tell you, folks, that's not exactly how that went down. I, again, was quite frankly stunned when I heard the mayor say that. I don't know if you were able to catch the background laughter from the group he was speaking to, which was the Northwest Grassroots. Northwest Grassroots is a Matt Shea organization. They really, when I talked to Cecily and John, Cecily Wright and John Charleston, in 2015, when I was getting ready to do a town hall meeting on radicalized taint, their biggest concern was where I stood on the Confederate flag. And I just kind of shook my head and went, this is just surreal. And this is a group that truly believes that the FEMA is going to come and round up everybody and put everybody in FEMA camps, something that I've challenged anybody in the area. If you can show me where a FEMA camp is, I'll close it down, and I've had no takers. Matter of fact, one former state senator, I asked him when I was confronted by a group of individuals about this. I said, you know, Jeff, tell these folks, they're FEMA camps. He says, oh, no, they're real. And I'm going to go up and look at one about 10 miles from the Canadian border up around the Kettle Falls area. And I said, I'll tell you what, Jeff, I'll drive. I'm still waiting for that phone call.
Right.
But that's the mentality that this group has. And this is the mentality they have concerning the truth. And for the mayor to sit there and go, there's no protection for the Caucasian race in our documents, it's because there's no race specifically mentioned in those documents. It is the human race that we protect. It is every single woman, man, and child that we try to protect. But Sheriff, what about the unborn? Folks, we have 23 groups in our organization. Within each of those 23 groups, the people in those groups do not agree on that particular topic. America doesn't agree on that particular topic. People on the board don't agree with my stance on that topic. My stance is life begins at conception. I get that. But that is not in our documents because there's no agreement. So we're not working on that issue. We are working on how we get people to treat each other right now. So, Dean, you have a history with this because I've watched you diligently attempt to bring the Valley on board.
Yes.
And what was just put out there by the mayor to that group does not comport to reality. So I'm going to turn it over to you and let you explain that.
Yes, well, thank you. I must also admit that I was quite surprised by the comments that Mayor Higgins made. As Sheriff Knezovich mentioned, that both Mayor Higgins and Councilman Ned Pace were at our press conference announcing our organization. And then after Mayor Higgins nominated Ed Pace, I specifically met with him, sat down, had about a two-hour meeting. Very pleasant. I learned some things I thought were very interesting from his perspective. We had a good sharing of ideas back and forth. And he made three requests that he had concerns about our document and looked at those concerns, and one of them was that we made reference to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Well, that's a part of the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations. They've got that in their documents. But as a board, we looked at that and said, okay, some people may find that they have a hard time with it. We felt we wouldn't lose anything by having it removed, so we removed it. Another component was dealing with malicious harassment and hate crimes. And we found that after we did more study that we learned more about the definition of hate speech. So we altered that. The third one, as Sheriff Knezovich mentioned, was the issue of no protections for people of white color, race. That is an obvious and throughout our document. So we made two modifications. Councilman Pace still refused to sign on. So I then sent an email letter to Mayor Higgins. I met with him on Recreation Against Racism on March 12, 2017. I had a letter to him in August of 2017, another letter in September of 2017, one in December of 2018. We went and spoke to the city council meeting when they were talking about their non-discrimination ordinance. And at that time, publicly, I asked for a member. And then for him to say that we hadn't wanted anybody. We even met with Ed again in 2017, showed him the changes we'd made. And that, folks, was the very first time that I learned through the media, through an article in the Inlander, that Ed Pace wouldn't sign because we didn't have any protections for the unborn child.
He didn't bring it up prior.
No. And that, yeah, we could have gone in a totally different direction if he'd mentioned that from the very beginning. We have always wanted. I would have loved to have had Ed Pace as a member of our committee because he speaks well. He brings a perspective. We could have all maybe learned from that. But he refused to come to the table.
And then to put out pretty much a false narrative as to what happened there, because we did. We changed our entire language of many documents, dropped a document.
Yes.
All trying to find that common ground. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find common ground to bring everybody to the table. We bent over backwards to bring the city of Spokane Valley to the table. And quite frankly, you know, there are times I get a good-hearted ribbing going, "We told you so." And I'm going, "That's not over. I think that maybe we can finally get people to come on board and help out." But what really stunned me was the cavalier nature of what the mayor just said. And to make to bring race directly into this, that there's no protection for Caucasians. Again, folks, our entire organization is protection for all peoples. Doesn't matter what color you are. All peoples. If you are facing that type of discrimination, it doesn't matter to us. We are going to try to help you overcome that dilemma. Dean, if somebody wanted to learn more about us, how would they contact us?
Well, we do have a Facebook page, and we do have a website, Spokane County Human Rights Task Force.org. So you could find us there, and we would look forward to you being involved. We do really want a diverse opinions to help us develop the best programs that we can for the betterment of our county.
And folks, if you join up, you're going to find yourself at the table with people that you may not agree with. But you know something? We can all learn, and we all can find a way to make our community better. We need to start teaching the next generation that the best way to move forward is to find that common ground that makes us all Americans, to find a way for us to improve the human race. We can do that. But we're not going to do it if we are continually bad-mouthing each other, if we cannot talk civilly with each other. And Dean and I share a common concern.
Yes.
We both are fearful for our nation because we are watching it tear itself apart. We're watching our neighborhoods tear themselves apart. This needs to end. And, folks, if you want to help, please step forward. Let's join hands and let's end the hate. This has been Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.